The Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation empowers students to learn through action by providing campus-wide programs, courses, and resources to test ideas, foster an entrepreneurial mindset, develop empathy, and create new ventures. Learn more at eship.msu.edu.
Hey, everybody. Welcome to a little bit of a special episode of the Hatchcast. This week, today actually, is, according to Google, National Entrepreneurship Day. So we are celebrating by putting out a little mini episode we recorded a couple weeks back. Featured on this episode, we have Brendan Wong and Jackie Smythe, who are generous enough to lend us some of their time out of their very busy day. They're going to talk a little bit about what it means to be a student and an entrepreneur and discuss a little bit what they do at their companies Capnos and Infinite Apparel. In celebration of entrepreneurs and innovators everywhere, we would love to encourage you guys to head on over to the Burgess Institute's Instagram, where we have 11 Spartan Michigan-based startups just in time for the gift-giving season. Additionally, we would like to mention that the Princeton Review has ranked MSU as one of the top 15 universities for entrepreneurial education. So we just want to personally thank you, the listener. We love you. We support you. And thank you for supporting us. Enjoy the episode.
Who are you and what are you doing here?
Yeah, for sure. So my name is Jackie Smythe. I'm a junior at Michigan State studying supply chain management with a minor in entrepreneurship. And I'm here today to talk about my startup, Infinite Apparel. And Infinite is sustainable, versatile apparel with a practical approach to design.
My name is Brendan Wong. I am the founder of Capnos, which I started a year ago to help prevent lung disease and save lives with a cleaner, better alternative to vaping. In addition to that, I'm currently also a junior studying supply chain at Michigan State University.
Hasn't it been like almost exactly a year since you started? I saw on Snapchat that like startup weekend last year in the fall. Is that like where the idea was born?
It was actually a few days before startup weekend, but having that platform and assembling with a team together to kind of help jumpstart it really helped.
So I think you have some really great news that I want to talk about first and foremost, is that you are both competing in Future Founders 2020 You Pitch contest, and that is happening the week of October 26th. Can you tell us a little bit about what was that process, and are you flipping excited? That's amazing.
It was really exciting. The event, actually, we pitched on Monday this week, so that was great. And then we found out last night if we made it to the semifinals, or to the finals, sorry. So unfortunately, I'm not in the finals, and that's okay. It happens. But it was a great event. It was really cool to meet a lot of other entrepreneurs because it's people from across the country. So that was interesting just because it's like, at Michigan State, we have a great group of people with startups, but it's really cool to meet other students who are doing those types of things literally all over the country. We applied through an online application portal where we submitted a 90-second pitch, and then based on that, they said they had the most applications they've ever had this year, and then they dwindled it down to 18. So we pitched on Monday, and we pitched four times in a row with four different groups of judges, and then it was a 90-second pitch and 6 minutes of Q&A.
Yeah, I actually went and saw you pitch live last year. So a little bit of background about Future Founders. It's a Chicago-based entrepreneurial ecosystem, right? And it spans the nation. And especially when it was in person, I was part of the Future Founders residency cohort, which is now called their Startup Bootcamp. And it's really cool because we get like early ideators and early stage companies together to sort of figure out and improve our business plans and operations. But usually, I mean, the event is super jam-packed with like investors present. There's current fellows who are in their more robust program. I know Bree Makarik is a Future Founders fellow as well. I mean, we found out about the application at least through one of the emails Paul has sent out. So we just applied and here we are.
Can each of you sort of talk about what do you think makes student entrepreneurship amazing and what makes it really hard?
I think the thing that makes it amazing is that, I mean, you have your own company. You're you're your own boss, essentially. And I think that's great. And it also sets you up to graduate and hopefully be able to work for yourself and not be starting from square one with your business. You already have something built. And I also think just how much you learn. Like, I can tell you I've learned 10 times more working on my business than I have sitting in any class. We're students, so we're still getting a degree. We still want to have a life, and that definitely comes at the expense of having a startup, just because your schedule is crazy. Not friends and family, even, they don't really understand what you do every day, because you're juggling classes with, you know, your supply chain or whatever it is, whatever next problem has come up.
I think the remarkable thing about being a student entrepreneur is falling in love with the process. You know, especially with having a level of dedication and grit toward your project or your passion, you'll come to learn that over time, you know, this is something that's going to span multiple businesses throughout your life, perhaps even, right? Because it becomes a process. But also, too, being a student founder in comparison to being a founder, I think is really important, just with all the resources that the school has to offer, right? Having the Burgess Institute has played a large role as well. But also being able to approach people from the eyes of a student, right? And finding mentors who are willing to share their information just to help you learn. Some of the hardships, you know, just actually yesterday, we've had a few people come up to us and basically say, don't go on Kickstarter, focus on business development. And it's led to us basically having to make a whole 180 on our go-to-market strategy. So there are a lot of difficult decisions that have to be made pretty quickly and pretty often. And it's stressful because, you know, we don't know everything.
Have you, either of you ever had a comment from a judge within a pitch competition that completely changed your mind on your business or completely changed your mind on a certain aspect and helped you pivot in a certain direction or not?
I don't think so. More so from mentors. Like, I've gotten a lot of great feedback from mentors that are in the same industry, but I think there's great feedback that can come from tons of judges, but I've never had someone, I guess, almost like deconstruct our business model and be like, okay, you need to pivot in this direction. But at the same time, I do think it's important to remember that the judges, as extremely qualified as all these judges are, they're not in the same industry as maybe me or Brendan. So the feedback is more based around almost like general business than, you know, you should do this to your product or you should change this.
Especially with judges' feedback, they're typically asked as questions to understand our businesses and our business models more so than they are constructive feedback. A lot of times we're just helping them better understand what we're doing. Sometimes when they do offer feedback, like I know in Startup Weekend, I just remember, you know, the question of, can you use the word safe to describe your product, right? Sure, even if the product itself may be safe, you know, there still comes a lot of regulatory issues around that. So it's like, what other wording can you use to differentiate? But as far as any like crazy pivotal things, I'm yet to have a judge make it completely re-examine everything. But yes, mentors have been a huge help in aiding that, though.
Last season, we were talking a lot about failure in general, moving past it, et cetera. And I just want to know if you guys have any big experiences with failure and how you guys have taken that into consideration and grown from it.
Last year, during finals week, I ordered this fabric for our long sleeve shirts. And it was like a few $1,000s of fabric. We spent all this time adding it to cart because it was a huge order. And we ordered the wrong grams per meter, which is huge. But that was like a huge moment where we're like, okay, like, we're not doing it this way anymore. We're going to call them and they're going to write the order up and they're going to send it to us. So it's just made us re-examine things and change the way we did it before. But seriously, like, that was like a week of us having breakdowns.
The biggest failure that we've had was just in product development. Right, with creating any new product, there comes lots and lots of reiterations to find the right one. And being someone who's not an engineer, I've really had to learn how to take this first initial prototype from, you know, just plastic hot glued together into this second version. So this rectangular version of the Capno Zero was going to be it. We were like, this is what we envisioned. But when we received the prototypes from the supplier, we were, needless to say, disappointed because it didn't work. Giving everything up was not going to be an option at all because we knew that this still has to happen. So we had a pity party for 5 minutes and we're like, all right, how do we redesign this? So we got together as a team and just started discussing different ideas. And here we are today with the near finished production model. So a year in the making, and now we finally have this model. Failures are a great way to find lessons and learn from them, so that way you can mitigate them to make sure that they don't happen again.
So both of you are Broad School students, correct? And both of you are going after the minor in entrepreneurship. Is that correct? No, Brendan's not. Jackie, can you illuminate why Brendan's wrong?
Well, I think the reason why even my co-founder isn't doing the minor in entrepreneurship, and honestly, I just don't get it. Like, I just feel like the classes are definitely helpful. I mean, even though they go kind of back into the early stages of what it's like to build a company, and I would definitely recommend it for anybody who does have a business, for sure.
Just like the startups that we help to mentor and foster, we too go through a very long, large scale de-risking and pivot process. We have been building this program since 2012. It has, much like a startup, gone through many iterations and many pivots. Some things work, some things do not. And it every piece of feedback helps to inform how we make it better and better and better. One thing that I will say that I appreciate about the minor is that it's university-wide. You don't have to be in the business college to take the minor. In fact, a lot of our students who onboard the minor come from Cal. We see a lot of folks who come from engineering. So I think it's really exciting to see that we get that diverse mix of students who come in, and it's about the mindset. We've had long conversations about what's the difference between an entrepreneurial mindset and building a business.
Do you guys, what have you done during COVID to help either like pivot or navigate or just like deal with this craziness that is going on right now?
For Infinite, it's definitely changed which products are selling. We launched with a dress and there's nowhere to go right now. So you don't need a dress for anything. But we followed that up with a long sleeve shirt, and our long sleeve is completely reversible and then it has a laser cut logo on it. And those have been selling really well. We actually, at the beginning of the pandemic, we had like a couple left. We had just gotten our run from production, so we maybe had 3 left that weren't already sold. So we put them up on our website because before this past couple months, we were made to order and they sold so fast. And then we had customers emailing us and they're like, when are you restocking these? Like, we want them. And it was totally because of the pandemic, because they're in their houses, they're not doing anything, they want to be comfy. Nobody needs a dress in the middle of a quarantine.
To your question of how has COVID adjusted our operations, it's definitely affected our go-to-market strategy. Since we can't be out in person, having people try the zeros, that's a huge component of it, is playing on the social aspects of, you know, one person having it and then people within friend groups catch on, and you know, now it becomes a buzz. Even when COVID hit, we were still focusing on product development. So a lot of that was still back end research. But in the grand scheme of things, because of COVID, we have a new understanding of how social behaviors are altered when comparing vape usage to being in person and being around other people through parties and interactions to just sitting in their rooms. So it's taught us a tremendous lesson, and that lesson is to continue listening to our customers, to continue asking questions and figure out how we can best suit our customers with messaging and with our product.
You both are astonishing human beings, and you make this job a dream gig. I'm telling you right now.
This episode of the Hatchcast is brought to you by the MSU Entrepreneurship Association. The MSUEA is a registered student organization open to all majors who are passionate about entrepreneurship. Find out more at msuea.org.
Hatchcast is an ongoing
Hatchcast is an ongoing collaboration.
This podcast was co-created by Aaron Richard, Tyler Mihai,
and Kurt Krieger.
It is produced by the Burgess Institute for Entrepreneurship and Innovation
in cooperation with the MSU Foundation.
Gabe Hales
and Justice Keach are our sound engineers and
editors.
Our co-producers include Brandon Weaver,
Gabe Hales,
Justice Keach, and Aaron Richard.
Original sound is created by Katya Gardina,
with help from Aubrey Haas,
Brandon Weaver,
Caitlin Setter,
Sydney Owinga,
Kurt Krieger,
Tyler Mihai,
Gabriella Alum,
Jeff Smith,
Paul Jakes,
Ken Smusiak,
Desiree Melfi-Bozzo,
Neil Kane,
and Lori Fisher.
If you have any questions or comments, please
feel free to reach out at
hatchcast@msu.edu.
Hatchcast@msu.edu. Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.
Thank you for listening.